It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Am I being accused of something on the RamosLaw.com text line?
I'm not sure who's being accused. I'll get to the
investigation. Okay. Your investigation got to an interesting conclusion during the commercial break right there. By the way, it's Hot Take Tuesday. Welcome to it. I said it'd be great to have a prize for the hottest of the hot takes on the RamosLaw.com text line, or you can call us, same number, 303-713-1043. We go to our prize master, Richie. Richie, what is our prize for the best hot take on Hot Take Tuesday?
This week, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Billy Joel, August 8th at Coors Field.
Wow!
It's a bigger prize than I was expecting.
That's way bigger than I thought. I thought it was going to be like 20% off your next lube job. Oil change. Oil change. Get your head out of the gutter. So the best hot take wins Billy Joel tickets.
Yep. 6:30. We'll decide the winner at 6:30. So you have until then to submit.
Text line, phone calls. You got till 6:30. It's a pretty good prize. You like Billy Joel?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
According to Parker, that show is sold out, too.
So yeah, I spent a huge chunk of change because my wife is a gargantuan fan, and we bought the tickets the second you could buy them. So the fact that we're just giving away tickets for that is hurts in my pocketbook. But no, I'm glad we're...
Well, if you wanted to win them, what would your hot take be?
Oh, wow. My hot take... Gotta think about that a little bit. I'm not sure what my hot take would be.
Based on 5 days,
my hot take...
Drew Lock starting quarterback.
No, I can't go there.
Well, hot takes don't make sense.
No, I know, but that's, like, too ridiculous. Like, it's got to be somewhat in the world of possibility. My hot take would be... The Broncos beat Kansas City on October 17th.
Ooh.
At home. They beat Kansas City.
How's that happening?
They control the ball.
Showtime!
And they get to Mahomes. They force turnovers. Think about how close they were last year. See, this isn't a crazy hot take. But I could see Kansas City, I could see a lot of teams taking the Broncos lightly. And
like the Rams, the good teams the Broncos competed with because I don't think they took them seriously.
Correct. And then the Broncos decided to return the favor. Except that when they didn't take teams seriously or they didn't do what they should have against teams, they got burned. 49ers and the 49ers, Raiders, Browns.
Jets.
It was ugly. There you go. That's not a good first week, though. Hot take after the first week. Don Barclay starts at right guard.
There you go.
How about that?
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. But there's
like legit competition, not an injury.
Not an injury, just legit competition. And that'd be a tough one, too, because Ron Leary is such a big leader on that offense. But Barclay is getting a fair shot against the ones competition-wise to prove it.
Yeah, but just to give... Ron Leary rest and to make sure that he's healthy.
Kind of how it starts. Season. Yeah. But it's a hot take. But it's a hot take based on something that's happened in the first week of practice. You got one?
Didn't I already have one? The Royce Freeman carries has more carries, not touches, carries than Philip Lindsay.
And that's based because...
Just the way that they're practicing right now, that Royce Freeman looks like he's getting the tough carries. Philip Lindsay's getting the wide zone type plays out there. I don't know if that's by design or it just looks like Royce Freeman in his body. If you look, the dude's a big dude. If I'm going to give a guy, 200 plus carries or 300 carries, Royce Freeman would be that guy.
How about this for a hot take?
I looked back at the stats of Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
And in the games he started, he averaged 15.3 carries a game. I took the Raiders game out because he got hurt in the third quarter. He did have 10 for 46. And people go, well, he wore down because of all those carries. But no, the 49, I know for a fact, after talking to a player, that the 49ers had a fantastic game plan defensively to stop Philip Lindsay and the running game.
How about this?
Their design was to make Case Keenum beat them.
Yeah.
So you can take, when you become one-dimensional in the NFL, it makes it a lot easier to defend. And it's going to look like that in the stats that Philip Lindsay, you know, looked like he petered out at the end. And mm-hmm. then the Browns just mimicked that game plan. That's what the NFL does.
How about this for a hot take? Trinity Benson beats out Deshaun Hamilton to be the starting slot receiver.
Well, the text line had Trinity Benson beating out Emmanuel Sanders.
No, that's not going to happen.
But that's not really hot.
Come on, that's hot. That is super hot.
He's been like the one consistent wide receiver that's made plays.
Is he? How did we acquire Trinity Benson? Is he a UDFA? Is he an undrafted free agent?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so an undrafted free agent beating out a draft pick for a starting position. That's
Philip Lindsay last year.
Yes, that would be a super hot. If you were to say that at this time last year, Philip Lindsay is going to beat out Royce Freeman. Are you nuts? That's a super hot take. That would be amazing if somebody predicted that.
After 5 days, he's the one receiver that's made all the plays.
So there you go.
For the most part.
He's had a good start to the camp, right?
He's had a great start. I kept on thinking it was Philip Lindsay out there. He's number two.
Let's go to our boy, Brian. Brian, you're on the fan. What do you got?
Hey, man, I just want to say that, you know what, after a 5-day sample size, that I obviously think that our defense is going to go ahead and help carry us to our next division championship. I mean, as it was when we actually got to the last Super Bowl, they carried us all the way through.
So what are you saying 12 and 4? Because the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win 11 games this year, at least.
Oh, absolutely, and that's a completely offensive team.
We have no idea what the Chiefs' defense is going to look like. They fired the defensive coordinator. They got rid of a bunch of guys.
They were pretty bad last year.
And they brought in a whole bunch of different guys. So we're going to have to wait to see what the Chiefs are for a bit on defense. But the defense wasn't very good last year anyways.
You know, I did ask Stokely when he was with Manning.
Win a division. That's tough.
That's a pretty hot take. I wouldn't go quite that far.
No, I wouldn't.
I mean, the Chiefs have the league's MVP.
Unless something were to happen to Mahomes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could say that about anybody. If
but that one position.
What happens if something happens to Flacco?
Then we have Drew Lock. I mean, at least people know the backup.
All right. We'll roll on. I don't know if you got any good ones on the text line. You got the text line fired up. I kind of don't. But
there's lots of them. There's two on Courtland Sutton.
What's the what on Courtland Sutton?
There's many.
Courtland Sutton needs to step up.
Winfrey is better than Sutton. We'll take over.
Well, he got hurt, but that's not going to happen.
Finishes the season as a top 10 receiver. I think there's another one that wants to trade him.
I wrote down a couple if you guys want to hear them.
What do you got, Richie?
Well, somebody texted in and said Tim Patrick's going to lead the team in touchdowns as far as receivers.
That's ridiculous.
Broncos have a top
five. A hot take has to exist somewhere. It has to be in the realm of
possibility. Although right. The first hot take that we threw out there was Drew Lock doesn't sign his rookie tender and they're drafting Tua Tagovailoa, and that was kind of.
Yeah, that was ridiculous, but we were having fun with it. You got anything else?
Isaac Yiadom starts opposite Chris Harris, and they put Callahan as a strictly nickel guy.
Yiadom's practiced pretty well.
That's a good one. They're going to be a nickel like 70% of the time.
That's true.
So, I don't know. What, first and 10? Yadam's out there and, I don't know. All right, we'll keep them coming in. 303-713-1043. It's great for the conversation. You can win Billy Joel tickets for the best hot take. We'll do it until 6:30. And when we come back, Nikki Javala sat down one-on-one with John Elway, and he discussed his future, and he's very honest what the last 2 years were really like. That's next.
Breaking down training camp 2019, Road to Redemption, presented by Flesh and Beck Law. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Hot take Tuesday for Billy Joel tickets. You saw a good one on the text line.
We didn't start the fire. John did. Elway steps down at the end of the year. It's good.
I have said that if...
Referencing a Billy Joel song?
That's the best part.
No. Yeah, that's good. I've said about Elway stepping down if and only if they make the playoffs. I don't think there's any way John steps down if they're somewhat short of that. Nikki Jabala had a one-on-one interview with John yesterday, right? You saw it? You were witness to it?
Yes. Well,
you can see everything from up on that hill.
My binoculars,
wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, John had...
I saw your Dunkers cup there.
I know. I do love my Dunkers. They opened a new one at Arapaho and Parker. It's right on the way to camp. There's one near my house already, but that one's even a little bit more direct. It's freaking... I'm addicted. I don't know what to tell you. The coffee's so good. It's 93 degrees, and I'm out there with a hot steaming cup of...
You're standing in the shade.
That's true.
Nobody, none of my, the hill people are drinking coffee.
Fair enough. But what are you guys drinking up there on the hill?
Water. Just trying to hydrate.
John sometimes answers in these one-on-one interviews with... He's honest to a degree, but sometimes it's just a lot of the same cliches. But I thought what was interesting is the questions about him personally. And Nikki asked him... With 3 years left on a five-year contract he signed in 2017, what's he aiming for? Quote, we want to compete for world championships. That's cliche. Obviously, we've been working on solidifying the quarterback position. Whether we got it done or not, who knows? Well, that's interesting, huh?
That's fair.
It's fair. It's honest. We'll see. But we worked on that, and I feel good about where we are. But again, it's 1 year at a time. Three seasons left. I got a lot of time left, and the goal is still to win championships. Well, it's not a lot of time left, because the question is, does John really want to continue after those 3 years? I mean, being his early to mid-60s.
He sort of answers it, though.
Well, he asked if he still enjoys the job, and I thought this was honest. And he responded he does, but, quote, it's been frustrating because the last 2 years were miserable. I have not heard him describe the past 2 years as miserable, but obviously that's being honest too. It has been miserable.
Yeah.
What would he do away from the game? I've tried it before. I know my expertise is in football. Even though I've got a lot of other businesses I'm involved in, I don't know those like I know football. I enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy the work. I enjoy it when we have positive things. Do you think John Elway, Tommy, really wants to go sign up for this same job, doing the same thing after this contract expires?
If he's miserable for 5 years, probably not. But he's alluding to the fact that he has other business interests, but he doesn't know much about them like he does football. It sounds like he'd like to stay in football. If it's 5 years, three more years of this, I can't imagine him staying. I can't imagine him wanting to stay. I assume that he would step down prior to that. But if they start winning again, and it takes a year or two to start winning again, he'll probably want to get extended so we can kind of see the end result of this.
Oof. Well, what is
Drew Locke is the end result of this.
Oh, but that's signing on for another decade at least.
No, theoretically. I mean, just to win, start winning again. Leave the team in a better situation than he got it.
Agreed. So that, to me, with our friend's hot take, he would step down after this year. I think it's in the world of possibility if they do something special
year. What, his words say that he doesn't want to do anything else.
The next question, and I doubt he would be honest about it, is your ultimate goal on the different levels you've been at in football to be part of an ownership group? My guess is the answer is yes to that. And that comes with a strange little caveat. And I don't know why the NFL has arranged it this way, but they have. You cannot be a current employee of a team and be part of an ownership group. You have to be separate. So the only way that he could be part of an ownership group for any team, not just the Broncos, but anybody, he'd have to stop his relationship as an employee for the Broncos.
And that could happen in an offseason where he's approached or has been working for a while on an ownership group to purchase a team, and he could just walk away that day.
That's true. And then you look at his...
Or wait until that ownership group gets approved.
His February vacation when he spent a week in Necker Islands owned by Richard Branson.
Sir,
sorry. Don't mean to disrespect. And Matt Russell was there too, and I'm guessing Matt wasn't paying $10,000 a night per hut. I'm going to guess they were guests of Sir Richard Branson.
Now, Matt's not getting an ownership group together.
No, but he's a good pal, and it's fun to go on vacation and hang out in hammocks with Sir Richard. So the thought that John has not had those type of conversations in that circle of people that he does associate with, come on, let's keep it real.
But he can keep his day job up until he finds out if that ownership group has a legit chance to own a team.
Right.
Why quit your day job until you're assured of being a part of the ownership group?
Correct. True.
I'm surprised you glommed onto that in the article. I saw a couple things that he said to Nikki.
What'd you like? What were your takeaways?
I cannot believe you missed this one.
Which one?
It was music related.
And you
kind of talked about it yesterday. How
we did.
You know, he's the GM. He could have stopped it.
Right.
But he says guys are paying attention. This is the difference between this year and last year.
Right.
Guys are paying attention, and the tempo is really good. It's all about football, which it should be.
If you didn't like it, why didn't you stop it last year? Yeah, I know.
If you didn't think guys were paying attention, you could pull the plug.
Right.
Literally.
Wouldn't that have been something? Just see him walk over to that big, huge speaker and just pull the plug, literally pull it out of the wall?
The other one, he's talking about Flacco. And he describes him, I don't know who he is, but he's won a Super Bowl. He knows what it takes. Whether they think he's good or great or good, he's solid. That's what he is. He's not Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady or any of the other upper crust quarterbacks. That's not what we're getting. He's solid. He's going to make, for the most part, the right reads. He's not going to make really bad decisions. But that gets you 22 points a game.
Right? Oh, fantastic. 22? Not 19.7? 22?
22.
Sign me up. Awesome.
Maybe 23. Two touchdowns, three field goals.
Stop. Listen.
That's anything, three field goals.
Anything over 19.7 is pushing it. 22. Let's not go crazy. We'll come back with Cecil
that
Lammy.
Is solid quarterbacking. 22 points.
It's just plain Joe. It's Joe Flacco, y'all.
The Rams Chiefs combined for 100 plus points.
Forget that game. That wasn't the NFL. We'll come back with Cecil. We got Frank and Dave with your hot takes. Billy Joel tickets on the line. Plenty of availability on the RamosLaw.com text line. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Breaking down training camp 2019 Road to Redemption. Presented by VehicleCreditRepair.com. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. I can listen to a little Boston today. Gorgeous sunshine. Roll the windows down.
You can't be talking about Boston weather.
No, I'm talking about the band Boston in Denver.
All right.
Love that song. Hot Take Tuesday. We'll get Cecil on here in a second. Dave, what's your hot take?
Well, first of all, I wanted to tell Tom that he was absolutely one of my favorite Broncos. And if you were walking through our tailgate, we would have invited you in for a beer. So starting with that.
He would have had one.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't have made
That's
it.
That's why
to the
he was
game.
One of our favorite Broncos.
Did you go to the game? I probably wouldn't have made it.
Yeah. Hey, my hot take is that the Broncos go to under Mike Munchak, actually go to the merit system, and Elijah Wilkinson beats out Garrett Bowles.
That's a good one.
Merit.
That's a good one.
And he becomes one of our absolute most valuable offensive players.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Dave. The only we sort of went around that one.
It's popular on the text line.
I see where you're coming from. It's just that I don't think Elijah's going to have the opportunities against the ones, whereas Barclay is actually getting opportunities against the ones.
That's true. I mean, But they can start, if he's doing that well, they'll start working him in, splitting reps with GB, if that were the case.
Yes.
And we'll know this.
Yes.
It could start tomorrow. After that 5 days,
dude, yep.
The coaches have been able to digest what's happened.
Yep.
And can I don't think that – I think Garrett Bowles is actually practicing well. That's right. Garrett Bowles is actually practicing well right now.
We go to Cecil Lamy on the Jägermeister hotline. Cecil, is there a competition at all between Garrett Bowles and Elijah Wilkinson?
Yeah, I think so. I think there is. Now, not on the surface, because Garrett Bowles should be that starter, but you have to think, and I think the question remains, will he start all 16 games? I'm pretty sure he'll open the season as the starter, unless he's just awful in the preseason, and I don't really see that happening based on the first few days of training camp that we've seen. Now, when the pads were off and he was going through his movement drills, I thought that Garrett Bowles looked better. The pads came on. He started to get a little grabby at times. But again, when we're watching one-on-ones or team drills, you know, part of the back of your brain has to be like, hey, he's going up against Bradley Chubb. I mean, he's getting worked by one of the best in the league. Hey, we don't talk about Juwan James, right? Juwan James getting worked over by Von Miller in one-on-ones. But that's Von Miller, right? So no one's saying, Juwan James, who are we going to replace him with? And I also think it has to do with Elijah Wilkinson being such a good player. I mean, this guy is a starter on another team. He's just not a starter here right now. And I think whatever happens with Garrett Bowles, they wanted to replace him last year. They couldn't because of injuries. I think this year, if it's kind of back to that same level of play, it depends on Ron Leary, because I don't think Don Barkley can play dead in a Western. And, you know, I don't think that was a good pickup by the Broncos.
Wow.
There's a hot take Tuesday, right?
Like, I just don't, well, D-Mac just hot take that Don Barkley was going to start the season at right guard.
He's getting a lot of time there.
If Ron Leary's hurt, then yeah, but Ron Leary's a better player. But Eli Wilkinson, the unfortunate thing, I mean, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. Like, he's not going to play left tackle if they need him at right guard because Ron Leary's hurt. And I know Barkley there, but, you know, he's had a long history of giving up lots of sacks. So I wouldn't like that for the Broncos with a quarterback like Joe Flacco who needs that protection because even though we've seen him take off and run a few times, I don't like that, by the way, you know, we know he's not the most mobile guy.
Cecil, what was the biggest takeaway from the first week?
No offense, not as good as they need him to be. You know, if we go back and we look at all the 5 days, who has been the best tight end? Well, one day it's Troy Fumagalli. You know, Austin Fort might be the most consistent out of all the tight ends. I think Troy Fumagalli's put on the biggest show, but it's never been Noah Fant. And whether it's the lack of conditioning, you know, which I guess I understand, but you're a rookie first-round pick, you should be, you know, as well-conditioned as you possibly can be coming into training camp. Not everybody is, but again, first-round pick, this guy should be the leader, the clear-cut leader, and yet we're talking about, man, can Fumagalli stay healthy? I think Jake Butt, you know, that kind of ship has sailed, if you will, unfortunately, because we love the talent that Jake Butt has. Jeff Heim is just a blocker, but, man, Noah Fant, you know, cut down on the drop, stop getting called out by your teammates for lack of effort in terms of finishing, and as I put in my article at 104throughthefan.com about Noah Fant, in order to start, he's got to finish, and right now, he's not finishing on certain drills, getting called out by his teammates, and they just need him to be better, because we've seen young tight ends come into this league. I remember when Julius Thomas was there and he came in without an offseason, no OTAs, no minicamp because of the lockout. And in 4 days, everyone was like, holy cow. Remember that, D-Mac, we were talking about? Like, holy cow, this Julius, you know, this basketball guy, he's making plays. It's 4 days.
Yeah, but then he got hurt.
Right, right. And then it took 2 years for him to actually see the field. But in 5 days, we haven't seen Noah Fant make a play like Julius Thomas was. And that's kind of what we all were expecting. So and that doesn't mean he's a bust or a bum or anything. It just means kind of a disappointing start for the rookie.
Is it strictly his conditioning, or is he just not able to pick up the NFL game at this point?
Well, and here's the thing, and you know this, Tommy, like the language is complicated. I don't think the offense is complicated at all. If I'm wrong, please correct me, Tommy, because you're obviously well-versed in this system. Hell, they're running the same system.
They are.
But it's like
identical.
The verbiage, you know, the language is very complicated. Maybe that's causing a disconnect. We know when you get in the red zone, Noah Fant can make plays. But I already knew that coming in. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain level of expectation we had for Noah Fant. I knew he was going to be good in the red zone, and he is. But they need him to be better than just, hey, get close to Pater, and this guy can box out everybody. You know, we're not playing pickup hoops at the Y.
What do you think of Khalifani Muhammad?
he could push Devontae Booker off the roster. I'm writing for that, writing that right now at 1043thefan.com. It's not just because I'm anti-Booker, because he was supposed to be the guy that replaced CJ. How'd that work out, by the way? So Booker is the guy where he's a really good receiver and he's good in pass protection. Kalfani Muhammad is a much better runner than Devontae Booker. I don't think he's as good of a receiver, but he is a good receiving option. And I love that he's inside out. Like, I like Devontae Jackson too. But every time he gets a handoff, he's taken to the corner store. You can't do that. Kalfani Muhammad, at 175 pounds, knows that you have to take it inside the tackles, then bounce it out at the second level, and he does that very good as a runner. Plus, he's a solid receiver. If Kalfani Muhammad can impress, you know, as a pass blocker, which is difficult at 175 pounds, then maybe, just maybe, they push Booker off the roster.
We'll look for that at 1043thefan.com. Thank you, Cecil Lammy, on the Jägermeister Hotline. Frank, I want you to hang on. You're next on Hot Take Tuesday. And the training camp, in terms of what the battles are and what to look for starting tomorrow, we'll get to all that next.
Breaking down training camp 2019 Road to Redemption, presented by Flesh and Beck Law. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
The Broncos cut their kicker, the little kicker. Sorry, that's not nice. The shorter fellow, Taylor Bertolotte. We'll see him at the alumni photo session.
That's so wrong.
And they signed punter Justin Vogel, who spent time with Green Bay last year. 6'5", 220. Went to the University of Miami.
Bertolotte is 5'9". How tall are you?
There's no way that guy's 5'9".
5'9", 188.
I'm 5'.
I got him.
I'm 5'.
I'm taking him.
I'm over what?
You.
I'm fine because I'm shrinking. Really? Ping pong?
Ping pong. What do you think the kickers do all day?
Piano playing?
I don't know much about him, but he's French.
Drumming? Drumming? Skiing?
Drummers. Anybody can drum.
Going to take him over me in skiing?
With your ACL? Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I can just go straight.
5'9".
Can you ski?
No.
Okay. Got you on that one. Like I say, good point. I didn't ski all winter, so I don't know. 5'9"? Yeah, okay.
Bertolet's probably been skiing in the French Alps his whole life.
Anyways, he's gone, so don't get so tied into him. Justin Vogel, and that will be a competition. The punting in camp has been just kind of so-so. It does not surprise me that they brought a punter in. It's been a little underwhelming. You've just seen guys in punting return. By the way, Fangio said one of my favorite things of all time. I didn't even mention this. He said, thank goodness somebody's speaking sense. The first priority of a punt returner is to catch the football. I'm like, yes.
Have you heard differing opinions?
Yes, we've heard all sorts of ridiculous things over the past couple of years. All sorts of things where the emphasis is really taking one to the house and being dynamic and this, that, the other thing. Ridiculousness. In the NFL, a great punt return is 7 yards. Now, this may be different in college and high school. I don't know. You could be right. And there's probably no way I could oversee a high school or college special teams anything. But I know in the NFL, where
no,
the average
in high
punt
school
return,
and every punt return, job one is to catch the ball.
I'm telling
I don't know,
you,
you've heard differently.
The focus with the Broncos, I'm telling you, over the past couple of years has been sideways on that topic.
Don't worry about catching the ball, but take one to the house if you do.
No, worry about catching the ball, but we want more dynamic returners, period. It's the priorities have been in the wrong place on that particular topic. It costs one dude, what's his face, Brock Olivo, his job. He was terrible. Tom McMahon did survive. And they were better special teams last year. He was the only coordinator that survived last year.
But he's the same mindset that don't worry about catching the ball. Let's
no,
make big
he's,
plays.
No, he's fine. He had to cover for... he had to cover for some other insane philosophical ideas of what they wanted to do in terms of special teams. It's a tough one when you're getting a message from your head coach that's contrary to what you believe. And you kind of got to see it through. I mean, it was stupid. But finally, Fangio, you got to catch the ball. I don't know who their punt returner is going to be. But I'm hoping it's somebody that, you know, can catch the ball. Like, Trindon Holiday was awesome if he could catch the ball.
Rod Smith would always, Mike would always put Rod.
Rod would be great.
Rod Smith would always.
Perfect.
Whenever there was trouble with a guy catching the ball, he'd always throw Rod Smith back there.
Makes sense. I said in the past couple of years, it should be Emmanuel Sanders. First of all, he's not going to take any unnecessary chances, and he's got the best hands on the team. That's why when Eric Decker was a great punt returner, because he was fantastic at catching the ball. The whole concept of running back for touchdowns on punt return, you got at least you got a chance on a punt return. You have no chance on kickoff return. Sometimes,
but to be fair, to move the ball in this offense, maybe the punt returner was the best option. Get what you can get.
Let's go to Frank, Hot Take Tuesday. What do you got, Frank?
Fellas, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, before I start, I wanted to tell Tommy that I was a little skeptical during the interview process, but you're killing it lately, my dude, so good job.
Thanks, man. I was that bad? I came out on a snow day, man.
Okay, so my hot take is a little bit of smaller hot takes melted into one. So Joe Flacco starts off better than what most people are expecting. However, about week four, he pulls a Brian Greasy, trips over the dog in the driveway. In comes Drew Locke, and he finishes off the year like Ben Roethlisberger did his rookie year, and he has better stats than any of D-Mac's Hall of Fame fives.
Bam! Okay. Thank you, Frank. I love it.
That's just one, isn't it? Drew Locke is going to be the starting quarterback week four?
Technically after week four, so it'd be at the Chargers on Sunday, October
6th. Joe Flacco trips over his golden. Greasy.
More likely Flacco would trip over a kid. Not in a bad way. The kid's fine, but there's just a lot of them running under
toys.
Foot. Yeah, toys. Kids' toys, yeah. And what was the story with Greasy?
There's many stories about Greasy.
You want to share any specifics?
He did fall down stairs. He fell over his dog. There's another story. Greasy shows up. There's a party at TD's house. And when Brian went out, Brian had a good time.
Did he have a Woody from Toy Story good time?
He showed up the next day with black eyes and missing tooth.
Yeah.
And there was a big story going around that Trevor Price punched him in the face
and
at the party.
Uh-huh.
That never happened.
What happened?
Tripped down, going down TD's driveway because it was on a decline.
On his own?
On his own.
He wasn't assisted in the tripping?
No.
Nobody was helping him trip?
He was well-liked. There is this notion out there in the public that...
How did Trevor Price get thrown under the bus?
This was a theory going around, a rumor, that Trevor Price was the one that hit him in the face.
Why Trevor?
Just a random dude.
All right.
And Trevor Price is the last guy that would have done
that. I heard the rumor he got hit. I never heard Trevor Price, but I heard
Trevor Price was always connected to that story.
Okay. Were you at the party?
I was. Mike Nelson was there, the weather guy. It was random.
Was he doing his tornado dance? Why was he there?
I have no... He was neighbors.
Okay.
I think it was TD's house.
TD had that kind of relationship with Mike Nelson?
It was his neighbor across the street.
That's cool. All right. What week was this in, by the way?
Was it during a season? It may have been
Was it the offseason?
May have been OTAs or something like that.
All right. So untrue. He did not get hit in the face.
He did not get hit by it. He got hit in the face by the pavement. But
he did trip over the dog.
He wasn't able to break his fall.
Well.
Again, he has a good time. Tripped over his golden. Hurt his ankle or something. That's true. That happened.
Right. Did Brandon Marshall trip over a McDonald's bag?
I wasn't there. Was it? Oh, with the cut arm?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What?
Mm-hmm. Into the TV.
Did you believe that?
Of course not.
All right, okay. Well, then you don't need to know anything else.
Let's go to Bob. What's your hot take, Bob?
Guys, got a hot take, please, and a question, actually, too. I'm really happy to see Mike Shanahan has not forgot how to get to Dove Valley. I'd love to see them give him a job drafting draft picks, seeing that number 7 cannot draft a quarterback. And maybe he'll get us one.
That was one of Mike's weaknesses was draft picks.
Yeah,
we saw Willie Middlebrooks today and Marcus Nash and
on
television. I'm just thinking of all his first round picks. Yeah. They seem to get George Foster was one of them that didn't really pan out.
Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall was a fourth rounder though. He was fantastic. That was a great pick.
Yeah. Well,
Cutler would have panned out here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of his other first round picks that did not Al Wilson was a hit. Mobley was a hit.
Clady was a hit.
Clady was a hit.
No, Sean? Or that was McDaniels.
That was McDaniels. Trying to think of the first-round picks Mike had. He wasn't great at the draft. There were a bunch of second-round. Paul Toviesi.
Mike Kroll was before.
Mike Kroll was... That was Wade years, well, I think, okay, or right, Dan right. Reeves. Mike wasn't the greatest drafter.
No.
Draft is a crapshoot. Every team has these guys that we're naming.
Mike, they took some chances on free agency.
Jarvis Moss.
Yeah, Jarvis, that was terrible. Yeah, that wasn't Mike's greatest thing.
No,
Mike was great at coaching quarterbacks. Who said he was great at developing them?
He brought in some good players. People made fun of the Broncos, but those guys all were good. Gerard Warren, mm-hmm. Courtney Brown, Mike Myers. Those are great. Those are excellent football players. That was the backbone of that 2005, the team that went to the AFC Championship game. He was great at getting free agent type guys.
Dale Gardner.
I thought you were going to go Dale Carter.
Dale Carter.
There's some misses in there.
Yeah.
Dale Gardner was a fantastic football player. He just didn't have it. But when he was in Miami, he's a pain in the ass to block.
Yeah.
You've seen that dude. He's
I remember.
He's 6'7", 320, no fat.
Right. It's trouble at IHOP. Let's go to Matt. Matt, you're on the Fan. Hi, Matt. What's your hot take?
What's up, guys? Here's a little habanero sauce for your Taco
nice.
Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday!
Adam Rank was correct calling us 2-14.
What?
And I'm basing that on the fact that this
man.
Can't catch a cold. We're throwing checkdowns and they can't catch
That's
it.
That's the offense.
This team's not going to score anything.
Oh, man.
Tom had him at 22 points a game. I thought he was... I got him at 19.7.
I'll take the under.
Of 19.7?
Yo, say 15, I'll take the under.
So you have no confidence in the defense then?
Thank you, Matt.
The defense, they went 5-11 in VJ's first year. 5-11.
Yeah.
You're telling me they're going to lose less games than that team? Lose more than that team?
I mean, that was
thank you, Richie.
That was the year that...
Having the time of his life.
You can't do worse than that year. Yeah, you're going to win 5 games no matter what.
Having the time of his life.
Won 5 games. Come on.
You can bounce around into 5 wins.
Don't you think?
Mistake your way into a couple W's. Right. 2-14. Andrew Rank, man. People know his name now.
What up? USA Today had the Broncos. I was just
Adam Rank. Adam Rank. Right.
Here's another dude. Andrew Rank is a
hockey player.
Nate Davis, USA Today. It's good that there's still newspapers at hotel rooms printed in color. Got the Broncos at 4-12.
Double the wins.
Huh?
From the 2-14.
Oh, from Rank, yeah. So incredibly optimistic compared to that guy.
But he bases on Philip Lindsay's injury, Emmanuel Sanders coming back from the Achilles, two things that have been dispelled from what I've seen, and the fact that Joe Flacco is not a great quarterback. This offense can succeed with not a great quarterback. Was Brian Griese a great quarterback?
Was he solid?
He was a good, solid quarterback.
Was he solid?
Yes.
Like Elway has described Flacco?
Yes.
Solid?
That's what he was.
You can win with solid.
You can win with solid. We didn't have the defense then either.
What was Brock Osweiler and Peyton Manning in 2015?
Solid.
Solid, not spectacular.
Nope, not great.
What was Elway in your first Super Bowl?
In the actual game or the season?
The game he was a little below average, but in the season, what was
it? Was he great? Probably.
He probably was great, actually.
I think his numbers were pretty good those years.
Yeah, actually, you're right. It's the Super Bowl that it was kind of like the offense.
Yeah.
You guys didn't do much.
We ran the ball.
You ran the ball.
Check our stats that game. Pass to run ratio.
Let me find my Google machine.
You during the horn or something.
Yeah. Josh, it's Hot Take Tuesday for the best hot take wins. Billy Joel tickets. Wow. We are amping it up from nothing to 1,000 miles an hour. What do you got, Josh?
Hope we play some stuff up Glass Houses. Hey, I think Flacco is going to be okay. People are overreacting. It's been 5 days with a new offense, new team, new players. I see Flacco going at least 9-7 this year and probably 10-6 the next 2 years while Drew Lock learns. So I think they got a good solid run at the playoffs. And
wait, hold on. All right, hold on a second. Let's go through that scenario. I like it. What do you say they go this year? What?
I say 9-7.
All right, so they're 9-7.
They're going to be solid.
They don't quite make the playoffs, but then they go 10-6, and in back-to-back years, they're in the playoffs with Joe Flacco, right?
No, Drew Lock.
No.
He said
Flacco. So you said Flacco for all 3 years. All right, they've just gone to the playoffs, back-to-back years with Flacco, and he's 36 years old. What do you do?
If they're still winning, I start out with Flacco again.
So you're signing Joe Flacco.
He'd be a free agent then.
Right. You're signing Joe Flacco at age 36 to another 2-year, $36 million deal, something like that? 4-year, $60 million deal?
2 years, 36 is Case Keenum money.
Well, what are you signing Joe Flacco to?
I don't know. It depends on what it looks like.
He just said he went to the playoffs.
It depends on what it looks like.
Is the defense still dominating? Is that why we're 10-6? Is it Joe Flacco?
I think if you have a solid offense that is consistent,
because you're about to push a back-to-back playoff winning previous Super Bowl MVP out the door for a guy who hasn't played in the NFL at all in Drew Lock for 3 years.
Pretty much what happened in Baltimore.
I'm not.
Well, you are.
I'm not on the second round quarterback on Drew Lock. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan.
You just said we would do this for 3 years and then it would be time for Drew Lock.
It should be time.
I said that if he develops,
how is he going to
throw him in now and hope for the best?
No. But, okay. I appreciate it. Thank you, Josh.
They develop over time. Did Aaron Rodgers develop in his time in Green Bay before he started playing?
Is Drew Lock Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know. You don't know. What I do know is that we ran the ball like 40 times and Elway threw the ball 22.
Green Bay
threw it 42 times.
Fire up the fire trucks.
And they ran it 20 times.
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. So Billy Joel tickets on August 8th at Coors Field. How cool is that? For your hot takes based
something good will happen.
What are you talking about?
Coors Field?
Oh.
It's where the Rockies
get it, right? I know, that's right. In fact, unless there's
stuff for high school All-Star games, you know, there's a professional baseball team
that
plays there. Yeah.
You're mentioning the game my son played in. No, that's not a joke. He really played at Coors Field this year.
No, I know he didn't.
Flied out with the bases loaded to right field. But the way I edited it, it looks like he actually got a hit.
That's a good job, then.
Shocker. Shocker.
Okay, the Broncos today cut.
Really?
The backup kicker.
Is this our top story?
No, I'm just bringing people up to speed. They're just getting out of work.
They cut up the backup kicker?
Yeah.
The 5'9 guy?
Taylor.
He's taller than you?
We didn't start the fire, Tom, okay? We're just reporting the news.
All right. Justin Vogel was signed as a punter. There's a inside linebacker available. Why don't you give us a little detail on that?
Mason Foster was cut today, day before training camp by the Washington Redskins. A guy that would be interesting just because of Todd Davis's injury. Those calf injuries, they say, you know, a few weeks he'll be out, but that's a type of injury where I've seen a teammate, Brian Habib, have it and struggled the whole year with it because there's just not enough time. If you were to put Todd Davis in there week one against the Raiders or the fourth preseason game, whatever it is, it's just going to linger for him. So Mason Foster's out there, a guy that started his career with Tampa Bay and finished it in Washington, but 8-year guy. The only problem is that Vic Fangio cut him as the defensive coordinator with the Bears after he signed as a free agent there. Not a big contract or anything. It was a 1-year, kind of an incentive-laden type contract there in Chicago. But a guy that's led the Redskins in tackles and a good two-down linebacker, a guy with a veteran kind of experience. We don't really have that. It's rookies and second and third-year guys playing the inside. Justin Hollins has been out. He's been nibbled a little bit there. And I mean, he's nickel, if anything. He's not a base 3-4 linebacker.
No.
It's freakish watching him out there. It's weird. Seeing a guy that size playing linebacker. Yeah, but he's out there for wingspan. He can jump. He can knock down passes. That's why they're giving him that tryout there. But not for the 3-4.
It's weird, though.
But Mason Foster, I think that's a guy they're probably looking at the film at probably last couple hours to see if he fits. He's played in the 3-4.
Wouldn't cost you a lot of money.
No, that's low-risk, high-reward type signing.
I mean, you're on the verge of letting go of Kevin Hogan anyway. You could do it. Definitely do it.
What, you're cutting Kevin Hogan today to sign Mason Foster?
If I had to. I mean, I don't know if I have to.
No, you're not.
I mean, not today, but, you know, you got to make the money work
Hogan
at some point.
Hogan is here until the end of training camp.
Okay, fine. His money's not guaranteed until he makes the team.
Right. And no, Mason Foster, we would have been better off. I know you're really a big advocate of the signing of the punter. His name is, what's his name?
Justin Vogel.
That's it.
I'm just saying it wasn't a great week for Colby Wadman, the punter for the Broncos. It was not. It was not a great week for him. So, listen, this doesn't, they're not bringing in Justin Vogel as a punter just for the heck of it. It wasn't a great week for Wadman. Now they're taking a peek at somebody else. It's the way it goes. So,
why was Bertolet even here? I'm calling him Bertolet.
Yeah, I know.
He went to A&M. I doubt he's French or he could be from New Orleans or Louisiana.
Why was he here? I don't know, actually. The only thing I think is they needed kicking and they don't want to wear out Brandon McManus, and they just, I really don't know. I don't know.
I'd much rather see them pick up a veteran inside linebacker with the injury we had first day of camp.
Yeah. Yeah, so keep your eyes out for it. Meanwhile, we have Billy Joel tickets. Richie, you got some texts too? I mean, this is available on you don't have to call in, but it's cool. We'll take some calls for sure. But you can text them in as well. What have you seen in terms of hot takes on the text line?
Well, somebody texted in and said that they think that Von Miller gets traded at the deadline for a first rounder and an impact player. So I imagine they think things
are
going to go well.
Are you nuts?
The deadline, like the trade?
Next year?
Yeah.
That's a terrible take.
No, that's definitely possible if the season doesn't go well. And Von is on a 2-year team option after this year.
It would have to be a 4-12 season. It would have to be a
I would imagine they didn't put a specific win total to go with it, but I would imagine they're thinking that the ship is sinking.
Okay.
Somebody said that Fangio struggles on the sideline and coaches from the box after week 3.
That's interesting. That is actually
who's throwing
kind
the
of
a challenge
in,
flag then. Who's calling the timeouts?
Mike Munchak.
He's got more head coaching experience than Vic anyways.
That's a compelling. And plus, he has headphones on. Fangio can tell him throw a flag. And by the way, the replays, we found this out last year. The replays are just based on the instant replays of the television broadcast in the booth. You would actually have a better view if you should throw a flag or not if you were a head coach in the booth than on the sideline.
But you'd have no one to blame.
You would have no one to blame. But you would have first eyes. You know, that's not crazy. He could easily signal down to call a timeout or to throw a flag. That really isn't that complicated.
Then he's just back to being a defensive coordinator, though. He's lost all head coaching. He's up in the box. Ed Donatell's on the sideline. Ed Donatell is not the head coach. It could be.
And Munchak, what do offensive line coaches do anyway during the game?
Lots of yelling, pointing at facts, pictures, and things like that. But no, but when the defense is on the field, Munchak's not watching the game. He's talking to his guys. You're going to need somebody that maybe special teams coach.
It's not going to happen, but
it's maybe
compelling.
Is the guy.
That could be the case, too.
That'd be the guy, because he's always those guys are always watching the game.
True, and remember when Gary had his episode and they needed a head coach to fill in, it was Jody Camillus, the special teams coach. That's not crazy either.
No, and it's usually a TV timeout after a special teams play anyways.
It's probably not going to happen, but that's an interesting take. That's a good hot take. Probably not going to happen, though. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on the fan. What do you got, Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Super. Good, Joe.
So I'm thinking that Todd Davis either doesn't come back at all or is just not missed, and Josie Jewell ends up, I'm going to go making a Pro Bowl.
Well, Josie Jewell's going to be playing. He's going to be playing anyways. It has nothing to do with Todd Davis.
It's two of them, right?
Yeah, there's two inside linebackers. And then they're 4-2, they're still, I think on the first day, Todd Davis was still in there on that 4-2.
Todd Davis is coming back. But it doesn't mean they couldn't
add
some
injury
depth.
Can linger. That's why the Mason Foster, as soon as I read that, I was like, well, this is perfect. Then I did some digging on him. He's lost a lot of weight, so he can cover a little bit better. Just the whole Vic Fangio cutting him after training camp, probably not too high on him as a player. But he fills the bill. I mean, he's inside linebacker, veteran.
How's Joe Jones? How's Dineen? How's Alexander Johnson? How are these guys that are giving, you know, this opportunity? How are they doing?
Jones is good.
Okay. Well,
is he 54?
Oh.
I'll look that up. But Dineen made some plays. He looks good, but he's usually running with the threes. Mm-hmm. Again, it's hard to say. It's like Elijah Wilkinson looks good, but he's not going against Bradley Chubb. So it's just a different look out there.
Let's go your roster.
No, I get Super Bowl 32 pulled up.
Good memories.
I should have this thing pulled up at all times.
Sam, you're on the fan. What's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Go for it.
Hey, so I don't know if people have already complained, but I think we all underestimate how bad DJ was last year. I think cost us at least 3 to 4 games. I think we go at least 9-7, maybe 10-6 this year.
Just based on the coaching.
That's the thing that kills me is VJ was the head coach and 5-11. You won 5 games his rookie year as a head coach.
And he's terrible.
You went through 2 offensive coordinators. You didn't have a quarterback.
You still won 5 games.
And you won 5 games.
How did they do that? Frankly, they probably should have been 4-12 last year. I mean, Shelby Harris got his butt kicked, got knocked
backwards.
There
are other games they could have won, though.
Okay.
That's what I mean. Oh, Josh Watson.
Josh Watson.
Out of CSU. He's been playing well.
Josh Watson, yeah. Shelby Harris got knocked back, and then Roethlisberger threw it into his chest. That's how they beat Pittsburgh. Phillip Rivers, for some inexplicable reason, threw the ball into the dirt when they only needed like 2 yards for a first down that would have won the game, the Chargers. But I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
And things
you could
happen.
Say, hey, Keesom, hit DT, and we beat the Chiefs. What other game? I mean, he lost to the Browns by 1 point. I mean, obviously, there's something that could have happened in that game. I mean, you beat the Seahawks. That win actually was great.
You can go through most of their games and go, they could have won or lost that game. Despite what they had on the sideline and a lot of the talent they had on the team.
Yeah, it wasn't like 2 years ago where they were getting a blown out. I mean, eviscerated in game after game. There weren't a lot of tweener games in that first year.
But they won 5.
Yeah, still to this day.
And now
2-0 to start the season.
Now somehow they're retreating. It seems like from a national perspective, it's between 2-4 wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's the high watermark, is like 4 wins. They must have not have seen. They're taking into account the division as well.
Yeah,
based
like
on
this,
years past.
This preview has actually the Chargers going 12-4 and winning the division.
Yeah, Chiefs 11-5. The Raiders have talent, and they have Derek Carr. You know, say what you want about him. He's a solid quarterback. That's what he is.
I like any quarterback that wears eyeliner. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, Hot Take Tuesday. What do you got, Anthony?
So what I'm thinking is that Joe Flacco is going to be like our Shane Falco from The Replacement.
Nice.
Hear me out here. We're going to have the first game against the
scab?
Raiders.
He's a scab?
No. A little bit. We're going to have the first
game. He lives on a boat.
Raiders. Okay. He's going to struggle.
Okay.
Raiders fans are going to think they're all that. And then Flacco is going to just take off 10 in a row, 10-1. And then, due to unfortunate circumstances, Locke has to come in for some reason. Drew Locke gets us to 14-2.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
In early exit from the playoffs. Ooh. But then next year, we're on to the future.
Wait, we're 14-2? We're bounced early?
It's bound to happen. It's
going
to happen.
Wow, we'd have a bye week. We'd be the hosting. Number one seed probably, and we'd be hosting, and we lose.
I don't disagree.
That's 1996.
Going to run out of something.
Wow.
That is 1996, basically.
Wow.
Number one seed, bye week, bounced.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville could be that team. They might have a bounce back game a year.
Damn.
Tom Coughlin's back in the building.
And who is the quarterback for Jacksonville?
Mark Brunell.
Oh, yeah. I thought I was ripping for a second. It doesn't work.
Ripping. Play for Washington.
Gonna go Brett Rip. I know. I got a little Brunell. That was close.
Sorry.
Mile long, 3 inches
deep. Just told me I would have thrown Ripping out there.
All right. John, you're on the fan. What's up? What's your hot take?
Yeah, my hot take is the Broncos offense is going to be top 15. Rushing attack is going to be top 5. And I'm basing that on the fact that the rushing attack last year was, I think, like top 15 anyway. You know, closer to top 10.
You know, it's funny when we look at when you're probably right about that, and we were looking into the numbers, they should have run the ball much more. Actually, they kind of freaked out, and for whatever reason, got away from what they were doing the best.
Yeah, and also Kubiak, made Simeon presentable. A couple of years ago, and this offense, like to Tom's point, it's true. You don't need him. Top flight, quarterback.
Solid.
So I think they go 11-5 and suck it, Tatum Bell.
What'd you say?
Yeah, suck it, Tatum Bell. There you go. Nice. Presentable. That's what the caller said. Presentable.
By the
way, Trevor Siemian was presentable.
Is that the T-shirt? Training camp 2019.
Road to presentable.
Solid. Suck it, Tatum Bell on the back.
Suck it, Tinker.
The drives analysis of training camp is sophisticated and is presented by Fleshenbeck Law. Thank you, Fleshenbeck Law.
It's presentable, not sophisticated.
We go to Austin on Hot Take Tuesday. Hi, Austin. What you got?
Hey, what's up? Hey. I'm actually a Bears fan, but I listen to you guys' show all the time. Thanks for taking my defensive coordinator.
You got it.
But I think Joe Flacco is going to be a little too good for you guys, and then you're going to end up having to get rid of Drew Lock in the future, and you're going to have to be with Flacco, and people are going to get his jerseys and stuff, and you guys are going to make the playoffs, but you're not going to win the Super Bowl, and Drew Lock's going to end up being a great quarterback somewhere else.
All right. Thank you, Austin, and best of luck with Mitch Trubisky. And your field goal kickers. Best of luck with them. Oh, there's one available. We just got a guy. He's listed at 5'9". He's really 5'6".
Oh, yeah, your backup?
No,
thank you.
No, he's perfect for you guys. He just misses short kicks. You'd love him. He'd fit right in.
Joe Flacco's going to be too good for us. No, Joe Flacco's going to be what he is. Solid.
All right, good hot takes. We'll pick a winner at 6:30. We're still going if you got some. You got some more text there, Richie? You got anything interesting?
I got a couple good ones. Somebody texted in that Joe Flacco wins comeback player of the year this year and beats the Ravens in the playoffs.
What's he coming back from?
Getting benched.
Getting benched? That gets you comeback player of the year?
I mean, he was hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt, and then he got hurt, and then he wasn't put back in as a starter when he was healthy.
What was his injury? What was his injury, by the way?
It was a hip, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't remember the exact.
Some sort of hippie thing. Not sure what.
What hip injury is just 2 weeks? Like, that seems
hip flexor.
Really? Maybe? That's just
something
a 2 week
like pointer? Thing. Pointer?
Let's see.
Did he just get a shot for that and just go back in? Go ahead, sorry.
Hey, tough guy over here.
Right, I know. A little cortisone.
Take it.
Did you work the day you had your ACL surgery?
I did not. I wanted to. It would have been funny.
Took the day off?
I guarantee you it would have been funny.
Just to get a shot and come on in.
I tell you.
This year's starting offensive line features Dalton Risner at center, McGovern back at guard, and Elijah Wilkinson at tackle on the left side.
Yeah, everybody's on Bulls.
Everybody's on Elijah now. Rich Scangarello mentions his name. Mm-hmm. Everybody's all over it now. Remember, he started games at right tackle last year and right guard.
Oh, yeah.
He's new to left tackle.
He looks like when you talk to Elijah, he looks like a guard.
He's lost some weight. He's definitely thinner.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Brett Rippon has a Kyle Sloter-like preseason and is eventually named backup quarterback.
Nah.
Backup to who?
He's had a couple of good moments.
He beats out Locke?
It's just not going to happen. He doesn't look like Sloter looked.
He's completed some passes.
He's had a couple of moments.
If you just took their jerseys off and didn't know how tall they were, you'd be like...
Why would we not know how tall they were?
That's so specific.
Take their numbers off and not realize one guy's 6'4", the other guy's 6'2", you'd probably be like, man, that dude's better.
You think Rippon has looked better than who?
He's completing more passes. He's had a lot less opportunities.
He's looked better than who?
Drew Lock? Hogan? He has.
I don't think so.
But he's had limited opportunities, and he's going against the threes and fours.
Yeah, let's not get too worked up into it. The only thing you really need to see
Dude, I'm covering all my bases here.
I got it. The only thing you really, really, really need to see, does Joe Flacco look better than all the other quarterbacks? And
yes.
The answer is yes, which is good.
There's no better. We talked about the mentoring when you brought up that ridiculous question. But there's no better.
You mean the legendary question? Yes. Okay, I mean the.
Are you here to mentor Drew Lock?
Well, like,
you got that on the top button there.
I'm ready to go anytime you want.
Are you here to mentor Drew Lock?
But there's no better quarterback for a guy like Drew Lock to learn from than a solid NFL quarterback, a one that makes right decisions, doesn't rely all on his arm strength and things like that.
By the way. Inside the building, they loved Joe Flacco's answer to that question. They thought it was terrific. They definitely are not looking for Joe Flacco to mentor.
There's a difference between mentoring and learning from. Drew Lock is going to be learning from Joe Flacco.
Yeah, it was a good answer. It set the tone for what this is really all about, and it's completely, they're all for it. They're all in. They thought it was great. Also, I was told that there's a little bit more to Joe Flacco than we're seeing. That there is a little spice to Joe Flacco in terms of getting on guys a little bit here and there. It's more subtle. It's not over the top, but it exists and it's been happening. For what it's worth.
That's good.
Yeah.
I see him hanging out there when he's not taking reps with the O-line, just standing by those guys and laughing and having fun, which is good in two ways. One is he hanging out with the guys. The other thing is that he's not even doing mental reps because he knows the offense pretty well at this point.
By the way, there's a level of confidence with being a Super Bowl MVP that lasts with you for a long, long time. So the way Joe carries himself around other teammates, in the building, is like that.
Pretty boy Flacco.
There's as much as people are crapping on Joe Flacco all over the country, his confidence level is great.
I watched a video clip of him walking into the Ravens stadium the week that he was the backup. He wasn't injured anymore. He was the backup to Lamar Jackson, and the camera is following him down the tunnel. He didn't seem bothered by it. He actually said hello to a couple people that walked by that work at the stadium. He looked very comfortable, confident, despite the fact that he's been neutered as far as a football player goes. And you couldn't tell.
Yeah. So, and I don't think he really cares or pays attention to a lot of the noise on the outside. Like Philip Lindsay was, listen, I love Philip Lindsay. And to me, he's the most dynamic player. But Philip the other day with the whole chip on the shoulder about you guys this and you guys that, it just was a little bit of an indication to me that Philip's probably paying a little bit too much attention to outside noise on social media and that sort of stuff.
I think you're misrepresenting what he was trying to say. He was trying to say that we're not pitted against each other in the running back.
But he was making the argument that somehow the media is trying to force that issue.
Because he's being asked about him and his competition with the other running backs, things like that, and he tried to defuse the whole situation is what I heard.
Sound? Yeah, I'm looking for it.
Yeah, you gotta look for that one. You can't, you got your mentor question all dialed up.
That's easy to find. My eyes are killing me. Is this it?
I mean, I do. I feel like I still, I'm always going to have the chip on my shoulder. That's just who I am. Mindset-wise, it's just, I feel like I got to go at it even more. I hold myself accountable to being more of a leader because I know, I've been here 1 year. I know the ropes a little more, Flacco is a great leader. And,
All right, let me try this one.
Oh, mindset doesn't change. You got to continue doing what you're doing so you can stay. Like, that's how it goes. So my mindset is grind. Mindset is what can I do to continue to better myself. I've been out for 7 months now. So
yeah, that wasn't it. I don't know.
From Colorado, went to Colorado.
Anyways, chip on your shoulder. It's good. It's fine. Joe Flacco doesn't operate like that. I would be stunned to ever hear Joe Flacco say anything like, you know, the media's got it in for us, you know, we're going to prove him wrong or anything like that. It's just not who he is.
He doesn't know what's going on with the media. Think he's listening to us, dongs?
No.
Oh, hell no.
No. He's listening to, what is he like?
I like how you're washing down that salad with some peanut M&Ms, by the way. That's solid.
Chocolate covered, yeah.
Got yourself.
No doubt.
Got yourself a salad for lunch, then having peanut M&Ms.
Delicious.
Right. Got to get a little energy going.
That's a good strategy.
We're going to 7 o'clock tonight, I heard. Yeah, listen, you don't get, you know, body by M&M. You know, it's, don't forget the caffeine that I'm chugging down as well.
Caffeine's fine, man. You come in with a salad all healthy, and then you go to the M&Ms.
Well, I've got plenty left. It'll take me the entire commercial break to eat
the
whole bag.
Throw a chew in. You won't eat. You'll be fine.
Yeah, we want to talk about health habits?
Yeah.
Yeah?
See me? I'm not eating.
No. How's the cancer liquid doing?
It's good stuff. You want a sip?
The analysis of training camp.
Some chocolate in your throat.
Road to redemption. Hey, be quieter. I'll just throw up in that trash can. Don't think I haven't done it before. It's presented by VehicleCreditRepair.com. More of your hot takes coming up.